The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to the Play Action Podcast. Catherine Fitzgerald, Lance Lysowski. Catherine, we review a little bit and look ahead, but I think that one of the bigger plays that stands out, the bigger performances that stands out, of course, is Christian Bedford.
Yes.
You wrote about him after the game in Pittsburgh, and I feel like most of the season he's been really good, but the last several weeks he's that guy that they're confident putting on a number one receiver. He did it in Pittsburgh, and he shut down DK Metcalf.
As we record this, it's a little ahead of when they announced the weekly awards, but post-game when I was talking to Cam Lewis, he told me straight up, he was like, if Christian doesn't win AFC Defensive Player of the Week, I'm going to be pissed. I told him I don't vote. I have no control over that, but I agree. I mean, his performance stood out so much, just kind of both what he was able to do with those splash plays, but also holding DK, what was it, 3 catches for...
He couldn't get open against him.
Yeah.
And with Benford as well, it's we talk so much about missed tackles throughout the year. He doesn't miss tackles. You know, there were some plays in the first half in that game when Pittsburgh was trying to run the ball, and he made a few really impressive tackles. And, you know, that secondary as a whole is really trending up. But when you look at the schedule, this week it's Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Then New England, it's going to be Stephon Diggs.
We've heard of him.
Yeah. He had a good game in Orchard Park earlier this season. And then Philadelphia later in the year, you have A.J. Brown. So you need somebody who can lock down a number one receiver, and the Bills have that guy in Christian Bedford. It is a big piece of the game plan.
Yeah, and I think you realize how much he is changing, like how much of his own game he is tweaking within the season, where when I talked to him about the scoop and score play, he was like, well, I missed a play like that in week 1. And I've been thinking about it every single day since. So, you know, you mentioned how he's kind of come on lately and has stepped up his performance, I would say. I not only agree with that, but I think you're seeing the behind the scenes is working where, you know, practice is actually working. We love that.
It's really stood out to me, those corners, the way that they work together after practice.
Yes, and 100%.
I know that other position groups do that to a certain extent, but the way that Tre'Davious White and Christian Bedford really mentor the younger guys, but also they're willing to accept feedback from everybody else in the group. Yeah. And it just, they're extremely detailed in everything they do. They'll talk about reps that they have in practice, what went wrong, you know, frustrating moments, the good stuff, the bad. And you've seen, I think that feedback that they have among each other has really made a difference as the season's gone along.
Yeah, I think the humility of it too, where again, talking to Christian afterwards, he was like, oh, I learned this from Rasul Douglas. I learned this from Bobby Babich. I learned this from, you know, added reps at practice with whoever would go over it with me. He's not ashamed to be like, oh, these are the guys who are helping me up my game. And I think that's why he's becoming a better and better player.
Yeah, one of the big takeaways from looking at the snap counts of that Pittsburgh game was Tre'Davious White played a lot more than Max Harrison. I thought it was impressive the last several, you know, handful of weeks, the way that Tre'Davious White handled or responded to splitting those reps. I mean, of course, he wants to be on the field more often, but there's no animosity. Like, he has embraced Maxwell Harrison, has made sure to help him any chance he can get. And if you look at the last several weeks, like, Tre'Davious White has been really good. He has given them that reliable number two corner. He made the first drive of each of the last two games, he made a pass breakup on third down that was very big to get them off of the field.
I think that's been so huge for the secondary, just seeing kind of these big plays. And again, the small things behind the scenes, too, that is leading to all of that.
Yeah, when you have Benford who's able to take on that number one receiver, that allows Sean McDermott to not have to put a safety on that side of the field, which is going to be big in a week like this where Cincinnati's going to try to run the ball and set up play action for Joe Burrow to make sure they're making his life a little bit easier. Chase Brown's really good, so they have a running back to do it. But, you know, with Christian Bedford playing the way he is, the rest of that group trending in the right direction, including Cole Bishop, it's an important piece of the puzzle that needs to continue down the stretch.
Yeah, Bobby didn't really elaborate on it, but he acknowledged that Cole Bishop is a big part of this defense.
Yeah, and I think Jordan Poyer coming in, and that's the stability that brought. You know, Taylor Rapp's a good player, but he was playing injured.
Right.
And it had a significant impact on how the rest of the defense operated. Now that entire group is healthier, and it'll be interesting to see how they fare, especially this week against Ja'Marr Chase.
one of Sean McDermott's favorite phrases is how the team is always evolving. And I think we are seeing that in real time with this offense as they continue to tweak and evolve not only what they look like, but who is out there. You know, they've brought in Brandon Cooks. He did have a catch in his first game with the Bills, but obviously they're going to get him more and more involved. That happened after he came in, on Wednesday, had 3 days of practice and was out on the field. So this offense is going to continue to change a little bit, and I think we're going to see that starting this weekend a little more.
Yeah, Joe Brady told us on Monday that there were more plays on the call sheet for Brandon Cooks going into that Pittsburgh game, but with how well they were able to run the ball, they didn't need them.
Right.
And so his involvement will be interesting to track this coming week. Cincinnati's run defense has been a little bit better as of late. They were one of the worst in the league for most of the season. So the Bills are still, it's clear at this point, they want to run the ball. That is the foundation of this offense. You're going to see a lot of James Cook. You're going to see a lot of Ty Johnson and Ray Davis probably in this game. But also, I think there's going to be more of a passing game than what we saw in Pittsburgh. And you're right. I mean, it's a matchup league. So they knew going into Pittsburgh that they were going to be able to run the ball. They liked that matchup. There have been similar matchups throughout the season, but in this one in particular, and especially facing a really good quarterback, I think they're going to want to be aggressive early on to try to get a lead, Catherine. You can't let Cincinnati hang on when they have that quarterback with that wide receiver. So probably more passing game involvement. We'll see about Dalton Kincaid's availability as well as the offensive tackles, but it's the receiving core. I'm really interested to see how the usage looks, how much we see of Brandon Cooks and Keon Coleman.
Yes, Keon was back after two healthy scratches, had a touchdown. But I think there's more to see from Keon, I would say.
Yeah, some nice reps as a pass blocker or a run blocker, and which is what they want to see. It's the way Tyrell Shavers is on the field so often because he's an incredible blocker.
100%.
For Keon Coleman to get more reps and build that trust with this coaching staff, Josh Allen, everybody else, he's going to have to be a reliable blocker. And it's detail within his routes. I thought it was interesting. Sean McDermott brought up, of course, Keon Coleman caught the 1 yard touchdown. An incredible play by Josh Allen, of course. But it's also the other routes that he ran in the game that didn't even result in catches.
Yes.
So to me, that speaks to they saw more attention to detail and how he's running his routes and what he's supposed to be doing out there.
And I think that's so important of, again, seeing how a player responds to something that didn't go their way, of how they're able to bounce back. In this case, Keon Coleman is still making those adjustments. I think there's more to do, but I think this was a healthy step for him in his second year.
And I think Cooks is going to be a big – not only did they bring him in for what he can do on the field, Catherine, but it's what he can show everybody else off the field.
Yes. Sean said that, I believe, right?
He did. Yeah. I believe Joe Brady said that.
Joe Brady, that's right.
And it is significant. I mean, Khalil Shakir is a good player. He hasn't been in the league for 12 years like Brandon Cooks has.
Right.
You know, and Brandon Cooks has 6 1,000-yard seasons. He's played in 2 Super Bowls. This is somebody who understands what it takes to be available and consistent day in and day out. So not only can, Keon Coleman pick up, little nuances from Brandon Cooks as they work together in practices, but how he operates in meetings. Sometimes it's note-taking or something as simple as that a receiver can learn from him. We'll see about Joshua Palmer, but if Dalton Kincaid is available for this game, he's going to be used quite a bit, I would think, just based on Cincinnati. It's another area that they struggle in.
Yeah, I think just knowing, too, the way he opens up Dalton Kincaid things for the rest of the offense, of how, Joe Brady has said in past games that he needed to tweak more without Kincaid there. Obviously, they figured out some things more recently. But I think Dalton Kincaid, if he's good to go, that'll be, again, just a new look for this offense as they kind of – not a fully new look. Obviously, he's been here. But having this mix of guys in particular, it's a new formula.
Yeah, and I'm sure that especially if one of those offensive tackles is out, Cincinnati's – probably they're going to do different things to try to test those guys.
Yeah.
But not only was it notable coming out of that Pittsburgh game how Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson handled themselves, I think that just speaks to the depth that they've built at that position. The coaching with Aaron Cromer, just the scheme. I mean, that you look across the league, Catherine, when even one starting offensive lineman goes down, it can have a cascading effect on an entire offense. The way they were able to plug those guys in and have the success that they did running the ball, that's big because it tells you down the stretch they do have an injury that keeps a guy out a couple of weeks. they have people they can trust.
Yeah, they've got that depth, and I think to see it tested is so important.
Catherine, this game, you know, a few weeks ago, a lot of people thought Joe Burrow wasn't going to be back for this one. So we were probably going to see Joe Flacco. Well, the Bills are going to get Joe Burrow, who in his first game back last week looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised by his timeline. I was one of those people who wasn't sure if we would see him for this game. But I think seeing what he did on Thanksgiving against the Ravens, it's like, oh, he's back.
Yes, he is back. T. Higgins, his second wide receiver, may not play in this game. That's a storyline to watch entering it, so keep an eye on that one. But not only do they have Ja'Marr Chase, they have some secondary receivers who do a nice job, but I think their game plan, Catherine, in a lot of ways, it's going to revolve around Chase Brown, their running back. 5 or 6 straight 100-yard games, gets involved in the passing game. And, you know, I think the defenses have seen if you're going to beat the Bills and you're going to have success offensively, it's got to start with the run and then you're going to be able to pass. Houston did it. That's the latest one that stands out to me where they ran the ball early. They had success on that final drive of the first half and then they were able to just kind of hold on at that point.
Yeah, I think kind of what you were saying earlier, Cincinnati's going to look to jump early. And I think the Bills' defense, how they respond, is going to be critical. They've had some slow starts this season, kind of look different first half to second half. But then it's also, can the offense keep up and get going early? So, you know, you don't want the offense to look like it did first half against Pittsburgh, even though it eventually was a rout. Just kind of how the, you know, they had turnovers, they were a little disjointed early on, and can't have that this week.
Can this defensive line get to Joe Burrow and make him uncomfortable? That's going to be a significant piece of this. Joey Bosa has a hamstring injury. Too soon for us to know what his status is going to be. But even if Bosa plays, Catherine, they need people like Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa. They need that group to be able to get to the quarterback, to at least disrupt his rhythm. And a big piece of that, yes, the secondary can help. They helped in Pittsburgh with some of their coverage. But that is, especially with this defense, I know stopping the run's a big piece of it, but that pass rush needs to get home a little bit more often as they get down the stretch here. Like, because it's all about the margins, how you can set yourself up for success in the playoffs, and maybe unlocking Greg Rousseau would be a big piece of that.
Yeah, I know Sean McDermott, he answered your question about Greg Rousseau the other day, right? Where it was just kind of, they've seen things they like, but it's, they still want to up his level a little bit more.
Yeah, he's been good against the run. They want him to do more as a pass rusher, but I think as an edge rusher in the NFL, you need help from your defensive tackles, and just with how much they've been rotating there, the younger guys, the guys they pulled in off the street or the practice squad throughout the season, it has created some challenges. I thought one of the players that stood out to me in limited playing time in Pittsburgh was TJ Sanders.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of that was on the edge, but he's getting healthier. He's getting more acclimated. They were using him on third downs, and they drafted that guy to get to the quarterback. And this Cincinnati offensive line has been better as of late, but it is a vulnerability. And if they can create some pressure from the inside, it makes life easier for Joey and Greg.
Yeah, I think, again, just as they continue to navigate injuries on that D-line, it feels like
yeah,
it's been an absurd amount. But just, can they get to Joe Burrow, and what can they do to continue to affect him will be so critical.
Yeah, and, you know, Joe Burrow is not a guy who's going to – not a big scrambler. That's an area that was hurting this Bills defense earlier in the season. But if you look at the ahead of the schedule, Catherine, you got Drake May coming up in a week. That's a guy who hurt them by leaving the pocket quite a few times. Cleveland's Cleveland. We don't really need to touch on that one. But Philadelphia, so – I mean, as much as the Bills stayed in the playoff spot by winning that game in Pittsburgh, it was a huge win. It's all about consistency. I think that is going to be the theme for this team. You know, I remember talking to Jordan Phillips last week. He just said, like, it's one area of their team has been strong. They haven't had it all come together yet.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for a game like that. Pittsburgh was as close as they've probably gotten in a while. And they need to really round into form here. December is a big month for them, obviously.
Yes, our colleague Jay Skarski was writing about that, so make sure to look for that in the Buffalo News about how this team's good in December.
Yeah.
12-1 over the last 3 seasons, I believe.
Yeah, 2023, they had to win out, basically, to make it. You know, they fired Ken Dorsey, Joe Brady takes over, and that team, it's all about, when are you peaking as a football team? Like, we were talking, you know, the Colts were such a story around the NFL a few weeks back, but now they've kind of hit they kind of hit a skid of sorts. You know, New England's dealing with injuries.
In high school.
There you go. You don't want that to happen. So they're hitting. There is an opportunity here for this team to kind of round it together. And, you know, some of these players that they have that are injured aren't going to come back. Yeah. You know, it's a tough reality. So it's all about moving on and making sure that you're getting better as the season goes along. And certain aspects of this team have. It's just they need to shore up, you know, some of those weaknesses going down the stretch here.
And just see that complimentary football that they're always talking about. That's the goal, obviously.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. So another big game this weekend.
1 o'clock start.
1 o'clock start. We love to see it.
Love to see it.
We will have all your coverage on BuffaloNews.com and make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.